Good morning to all of you. So today is Palm Sunday. Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king and ended the week on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, and then he rose again. So this morning I want us to spend this time thinking about two of the characteristics of God. So God is holy and God is all-powerful. So we're pilgrims on a journey, and we're not alone. Jesus is with us. He goes before us, his love surrounding us, leading us home. So we met today because we love God, and God fills us with his love. And when we worship, it is important to have a disciplined mind and let go of the earthly and focus on the heavenly. We believe that God's Spirit is in us, empowering us. And when we read through the Bible and the stories of God working, it shows us what is important to God. God wants our full attention. And I have some verses that speak of God's holiness. Isaiah 6:3, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Psalms 96:8-9, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." Psalms 99:1-5. "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great name, for he is holy. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." So, do we live differently if God's Spirit is in us? I'll read 1 Peter 1:3-9. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, which through faith and shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are the receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" And then verses 22-25, "Yet seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto your unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is a grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." So I believe absolutely in the power of God. But the struggle for me is when events on earth could be adjusted so that there are better outcomes. I'm sure all of you have things that come to your mind. Some of the things that came to my mind were when people around us, family members or friends, fall ill with a terminal sickness and they're not that old. So that could be adjusted. but it doesn't always get adjusted. And I have friends who left this area, went to another country to spread the message of salvation, and their cattle, which allow them to be in the country, just keep dying. So I would adjust that, you know, if I could make that decision. And then more personally, someone challenges me to live on how I'm living my life, and I get angry. And then you may have a bad habit, and you want to change that bad habit, and you try, and it seems the bad habit is winning. And another example is we only see the failures of people around us, or we're filled with fear. So where is this power that I believe in? And I'll say again, I still believe absolutely in the power of God. And so it was because of God's power in me and through me that I was able to apologize to a person that I got angry with, and we continued a conversation, and I don't feel anger in my heart. So that's the power of God. And we can change bad habits through God's power. And we also have a part to play. And if you read in Atomic Habits by James Clear, he points out that to change a bad habit, usually you need to replace it with a good habit. So take, for instance, you drive to your job every morning and you like to stop and buy a donut and coffee. And you've done that for years. And you go to your doctor, and your doctor says, your health is less than ideal. So you say, no more donuts, as you leave the doctor's office, because it's not Monday morning. But Monday morning, you head off to work, and your car pulls into the donut shop, just like it has for years. So that's a habit, and you want to change that habit. Clear says you need to change the route you drive, and you might actually want to go to the grocery store and buy some fruit. And as you're driving a different route, you're eating your fruit. And then you're more likely to be able to replace that bad habit with a good habit. And then on sickness, I have a reading from John Koblenz out of Journey into God. And I would highly recommend this book. I've read through it a number of times. And he talks about how prayer is our part in bringing our needs to God. So I'll read from that book. Prayer is one of the mysteries of our interaction with the sovereign God. God is over everything and everyone all the time. But he invites us to ask him to do things. He urges us not to simply wait on him to do great works, but to enter into the willing and working of restoring righteousness in our own lives and in the lives of others. As our hearts beat in rhythm with his great heart, we sorrow over sin and over the sinners. We allow our hearts to be touched with the feelings of their sickness, failures, broken relationships, poverty, injustices, and weaknesses. This calls for engaging those around us, learning to know them, listening to their needs, and demonstrating the compassion of Jesus. The brokenness and needs in our communities are bigger than we can manage. It is not difficult to get overwhelmed with human sorrow, to be very soon in over our heads. This calls us to prayer. We bring these needs to Jesus like the four men who carried the paralytic to Jesus. These guys weren't deterred by the crowds or the fact that Jesus was in the middle of a good sermon. They carried the man to the rooftop, opened up the roof, and let him down in front of Jesus. Prayer is that kind of work. We are willing to interrupt heaven with our requests. We do not quit until we have laid the need on holy ground at the throne of grace. I do not mean that we command God or that we can demand answers. Prayer is requesting, beseeching, asking, and even begging. We never reverse roles with the one on the throne. There is but one sovereign. But we are assured that those who have given themselves to the mission of the king's business have been given direct audience with the king. He is the sovereign, but we are his emissaries. We listen carefully to his instructions, memorize them, and make them our daily to-do list. He listens to us, our reports, our sorrows and joys, our difficulties, our needs, our concerns for others' needs. And the jaw-dropping reality of prayer is that our requests move the heart and hand of the sovereign God. The second way we live in the kingdom of God is to follow the example of Jesus and the apostles by serving people around us. When Peter spoke to the group of Gentiles at Cornelius' house, he summarized Jesus' life by saying, "He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Acts 10:38. How did Jesus do this? Ministering to the sick, feeding the hungry, blessing the children, proclaiming the good news of his Father, and teaching his followers how to live for the good of others. So that was out of Journey into God. Next, I have a song. The title is Rise Up, Lazarus, and I'll just read two of the stanzas. I feel this expresses what we should feel when God's Spirit is living in us and God's power is moving us. The words of the song are, "Come on, rise up, take a breath. You're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us? Out of the grave like Lazarus. You're brand new. The power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us? Out of the grave like Lazarus. Rise up, rise up, rise up. Out of the grave like Lazarus. When he said your name, the thing that filled your veins was more than blood. It's the kind of love that washes sin away. Now the door is open wide and the stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone and the light has come." And then I have verses from Peter that I will read as a prayer to end this time. And then I'd like to sing song number 128, if you could lead that, Shane. So let's pray together. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen."
Sweetly and Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it.